Thanks, Ruth, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Here and on Zoom. This is very fancy. We've got a new little Zoom camera, I see, since I last stood up here. Well done to the team who makes that all work so seamlessly every week. It is really nice to be back together, and I just, like many things, when it's taken away from you, you suddenly become very fond of it. Maybe some of us felt that way about our lighting or heating this last couple of weeks, and I've certainly felt that way about meeting together in church. It's just something very soul-enriching about praising God together, and just the noise. It's not just noise, it's something a little bit more, isn't it? And we're very lucky to have that. So I hope that translated a little bit to Zoom. If not, that's hopefully you made a joyful noise in your own living room. There are perks to being alone while you sing sometimes too. So. I'm sorry that we're not hearing from Terry today, but we look forward to hearing from him next time when he's feeling a bit better. On the plus side, when you ring someone in at the last minute, they can't prepare anything terribly long, which works well when we're sitting in quite a cold hall today. So don't be alarmed. If you need to get up and pace, I'm not offended, but you probably won't be sitting for that long, so it's okay. Today we're going to look at quite a familiar story in our Bibles, the story of Jesus calming the storm. To set the scene a little bit, Jesus has been teaching by the lake in Galilee, and he's been telling parables, getting the people to wonder and question, what does it mean when we hear about the kingdom of God? What does that mean? And he's telling these parables, which are not kind of nice little neat metaphors. They're quite confusing stories. they're deliberately meant to get under your skin a little bit. What does it mean that the kingdom is like a mustard seed? It's not a great war cry for a new kingdom if you were planning one. So that's what's happening. Jesus has been preaching, telling these stories, and then we come to our passage for today, which is in Mark 4. If you would like to read along, it's Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. And I'm going to read from an NIV version. So this is what happens. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So last week, of course, we were hit with our own massive storm, especially in this community here, in and around Moorabark and up in the hills. And even sitting at home in a safe house, it was pretty terrifying. The wind howled, and the rain thundered down, and the windows in our house rattled. I don't know about you guys. There were incredible wind gusts here and across the state. I think maybe up to even 100 kilometres per hour. Just insanely fast wind. Buckets of rain. And of course, these beautiful, mighty trees. A lot of them were toppled. Some of them taking out power lines or roads or creating a lot of damage to buildings and other things. And this storm, the power and intensity of it, it left hundreds of thousands of people without power. Some people still waiting for it to come back on. We all sat in that storm. We've probably all got fresh memories of that storm. And I bet there were cries to Jesus from many hearts, from all over the place in that storm. So yeah, I think this Bible story is a little bit more visceral today. It's a little bit more real or tangible since the last time I looked at it, because that memory is really fresh. And maybe because of that experience, I couldn't help reimagining this little story in the context of our storm. And I was picturing Jesus napping on our couch while I freaked out when the power flicked off unexpectedly at 10 p.m. on Wednesday night. And I pictured being quite annoyed with him, like the disciples probably were. And then I pictured him waking up and walking outside into the middle of that intense storm, into the wind and the rain, and just saying, "Quiet, be still." And I try to picture what it would be like to witness that intense storm just stop because he said so. It brings a little something extra to it when you actually try to imagine seeing a display of that power. So storms are, I think, maybe kind of a universally a bit scary or a bit ominous. They're a good metaphor. We all know kind of roughly what a terrible storm is, and we sort of understand the kind of power that can come with it. But in this story that we read in Mark, there's an added element of fear, because this is a story of a storm on the ocean. So the Jewish people were not a seafaring people. They were not big fans of the water, probably apart from the fishermen. And in fact, the sea itself was often used quite symbolically to stand for the forces of evil. It was kind of seen as this this imagery that was maybe connected with darkness, something that was threatening and scary. And when you think about those early people and the kind of stories in their history that they would associate with the sea and the ocean, they would probably think of things like the story of Jonah, who disobeyed God and ran straight into a terrifying storm, and then there was the whole business with the whale. So very kind of scary, intense thing. They might have also thought of stories of their ancestors escaping Egypt through the Red Sea and the power of that sea being parted. When the prophets spoke, sometimes, like Daniel, the sea was where the monsters came from. Again, this really rich kind of symbolic, the sea as a place of darkness, a place of dark power. And of course, in the beginning, in the creation stories, what is the world described as at the very start of time? It's a dark and restless water. Before God came in to bring it to life, it's a dark and restless water. So for us Aussies, we might be more inclined to maybe associate the ocean and the sea with family beach holidays or relaxation, or where we'd prefer to be in the middle of Melbourne winter. But for the early people hearing this story as it was retold, and then when it was first written down and shared, when they heard this story of the storm while the disciples are in the boat on the ocean with Jesus, it has all of this powerful symbolism involved in it that they couldn't escape. That would have been what came to mind with them. So it's more than just an amazing physical miracle. It's actually deeply symbolic. It's a literal triumph of this new kind of power over this dark forces of evil type power. The ocean is big and the storm is big, but God is bigger. Maybe that's what we'd boil it down to. If you want one takeaway thing, maybe that's what you can remember. I like how this scene is described in the Message as well. That's quite a good translation version of it if you want to read. This is a little snippet of it. It says, "Awake now, he told the wind to pipe down and said to the sea, 'Quiet, settle down.' And the wind ran out of breath. The sea became smooth as glass." Jesus reprimanded the disciples, "Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all?" And they were in absolute awe, staggered. "Who is this anyway?" they asked, "wind and sea at his beck and call." So aside from this incredible imagery and symbolism in the story that maybe we don't get at first read, but certainly the earliest audiences did, aside from that, what I really love about this story is just how human the disciples are in it. It's pretty much exactly how I would imagine myself reacting in the same situation. Sometimes I feel a bit superior when I read about how slow the disciples were at times, but I read a story like this and I go, nah, that's me. I know who I am in this story. They are scared and overwhelmed at the power around them while the storm is raging. They seek out Jesus, and it doesn't even sound like they really know why. They just, like, he just needs to be awake. He needs to take this seriously. They're annoyed at his apparent calmness and relaxed attitude to the situation. Like, come on, Jesus, take this seriously. And then they are stunned when he actually calms the storm, and they're bewildered at the bigger implications of this. What does that mean? Now, they had seen him perform miracles before by now, but for some reason, perhaps because of the magnitude of this display of power, seeing him calm the storm really sets them off, grappling with this question, who is this? And we can't really blame them, because I don't think any of us could come face to face with power like that and not have some questions. In a way, we might start to understand this story a little bit more in light of the parables that Jesus has just been telling. In Mark's scripture, that's where Jesus is just before the storm. He's speaking to people. He's telling parables about the kingdom, where he's describing what it's like. And parables are not nice, neat stories. They are deliberately provoking and often confusing, and they're meant to raise lots of questions. When Jesus calms the storm, then, it's almost like we're witnessing another story about God's kingdom. But this one's in real time and acted out. This is an otherworldly power breaking through the storm, breaking through this very symbolic, scary, dark place, and bringing calm and peace. And it's not done with big shouts or just big displays. It's done with a quiet voice. That's all it took. The power that created the world, the power that brought life forth from the dark waters at the beginning of time, the power that rescued the Israelites, the power that the prophets spoke of, the power that would one day bring Jesus back to life and defeat death. The power that lives in us now through the Spirit. This is the power of Jesus, the power of the kingdom that calmed the storm. It's a great story. But I do read it now and I've got questions. I've got questions like the disciples, slightly different questions, but it raises questions, just like a good parable might. I read this now and I wonder, why doesn't Jesus calm all the storms? The real physical ones and maybe the metaphoric ones. The storms, the stormy times that we all go through in our lives. And I don't know why. And maybe even if I'd had months to prepare this message, I wouldn't be able to give you a good answer for that. But I think it's okay to grapple with that question. And I think that maybe there will always be storms, real and external and internal, while we wait for the fullness of God's kingdom to arrive, where there will be peace and justice and safety and joy forever. So I feel like there's been a lot of storms in the last 12 months. I think as we emerge from lockdown 4.0, maybe Maybe you're like me, feeling a little bit battered and bruised. So today, I feel like I have one truth to offer you from one slightly reluctant sailor to another. And if you've got more truths from this story, I would love to hear them afterwards. Please come and talk to me. But this is what I'd like to offer today. The truth is this, that Jesus is with us in the storm. That Jesus hears us in the storm, that he sees us in the storm, that we are never alone in the storm. And the power that can calm any storm and fix any broken thing and give any dead thing new life, that power holds our hand in the storm. Whether we believe wholeheartedly and steadfastly in this truth, or whether we freak out and scream for help when the storm hits. Either way, it's the truth. God is with us. And that one true thing that might just give us enough hope to hold on through the storm. Now, you might rightly ask, how can I say that this is the truth? How can I say that to you confidently? Well, because time after time, Jesus shows us and tells us that this is the truth. If there's one thing we can know about him and believe about him, this is it. That it's not just Jesus with the power to calm the storm and perform a mighty miracle, but he is Jesus who would be right there with us in the storm. Wouldn't he? Isn't that who we get to know all through Scripture? Isn't that maybe what we felt in our own lives? I look at the Jesus that we get to know in the Bible, and I see a Jesus who came to be with us on earth. He lived a whole real human life, and he died a terrible death, and he did it alongside us. He weathered the storms on earth with us. He didn't do this from somewhere far away in pristine safely. He chose to come and dwell among us, to be in the muck with us. I think of Jesus, who is the good shepherd, who cares for his flock, every single one of them, no matter what. I think of Jesus as the father welcoming home the prodigal son, with no judgment, just love and a big party. I think of the Jesus who opened his heart and his table to anyone who wanted to know his love and to know more about the kingdom. I think of Jesus who noticed the unlovable and the unremarkable. The Jesus who healed the sick and loved the awkward. And I think of Jesus who went to the cross and died for us so that he could draw us into the holy family of this new kingdom because he loves us that much. This is the Jesus that we get to know through Scripture, and it's as simple and as profound as that. So when I tell you that's the truth, that Jesus is in the storm with us, I really do trust that Jesus will get in the boat with me and that he will be with me in the storm, because there is not one story or image of Jesus that I can summon which looks anything like him standing safely on the shore while I'm in the boat in the middle of a storm on the sea. There's not one image of Jesus that looks like that. When I read this passage, and thankfully I had made a note of it, but I remember the time that we discussed this in a youth discussion, probably many years ago now, and we had done all this prep work as leaders, and you know, we had all these cool things to talk about, and yet the single best moment of that discussion was when one kid just said quite thoughtfully, "Well, Jesus told them, get in, we're going to the other side." And he got them there. The duh was like implied. But it's so true. This is the Jesus who will get us to the other side, and we probably won't conduct ourselves all that well, but we know he's in the boat with us. He's got plans and we're going for the ride. So this is who Jesus is. And we know that because we know this, we know what God is like as well. Jesus came to show us who God is so that we could get glimpses of his mighty power, like when Jesus calmed the storm, but also so that we would know his deep, faithful, mighty love, the kind of love that is in the boat with us in the middle of it all. So as we weather storms, be they real external physical storms or internal invisible storms, let's be good crewmates to each other as well. Let's remind each other who's in the boat with us. Let's remind each other that God is bigger than the storm and Jesus is more powerful than the waves. Because sometimes it's really hard to remember and believe that on your own. So, to finish up today, my prayer for you, my prayer for us all, is that you may feel the powerful, calm presence of Jesus in the boat with you. That you may have a deep and true hope to see you through any storm. And that this hope may grow into a trusting faith that holds you and others steady through all life's journeys. I'm going to hand it back to Ruth.